I'm glad to be here today. I told Tom as we were planning for this that I felt like in some ways that they had brought me on last to sort of throw a bucket of water as a representative of the research committee, a bucket of water over all the good news that we were hearing from the field. Fortunately, I think, for me and for everyone, I think the news that I have from this large study that we've been conducting for the last 6 years is positive and certainly speaks very strongly to a promising beginning in terms of being able to do something in the area of reentry. And Tom, I thought you gave a very nice overview sort of on the local level of what these reentry programs are looking like. So I think it really frames the issue very well. For the last 6 years, we have been evaluating the Federal Serious and Violent Offender Reentry Initiative, which was a $110 million federal investment in state and local programs to try to facilitate and improve the reentry outcomes for adults and juveniles returning to their community from confinement. The programs were grants were awarded in 2002, 2003, and really with a goal to accomplish four objectives. The first was to improve, and again, very good. Your slides are great. You can just remember his slides as I speak the words here. To improve employment, housing, family, and community involvement of prisoners. To improve health by addressing mental health and substance abuse issues. In particular, long-run goal, of course, to reduce criminality. And then an idea that in the long run for these kinds of programs to sustain, that there had to be systems change among the agencies and organizations that are dealing on a day-to-day basis with our offender populations. So the idea was to set in motion something that would result in a change in the way that business was done. And I think everyone we've heard today has talked very much about doing that and how important that is. A challenge for us as the evaluators, of course, was there was no SVORI program model. And I say SVORI, Serious and Violent Offender Reentry Initiative, S-V-O-R-I, the SVORI programs. There was no program model. So each local agency was given some money and told, go out and address these objectives that I just outlined and choose the population that you're going to target, choose the way that you're going to go about it, look at the resources and needs that you have and try to do the best you can, you know, in the 3 years that you have to change your complete way of doing business. I think it's real important to remember this was a one-shot deal, three years of funding to basically change the way that you do business in order to affect these large, major, significant changes in the behavior of individuals who had often long involvement with the criminal justice system. That in itself, there being no program model, set a particular challenge for us as evaluators, because what exactly was it that we were supposed to be evaluating? And so as part of our evaluation, we spent a lot of time and effort to collect information so that we could try to figure out what it was, what each of these various programs were doing. And I think the variety that we identified is very instructive in across a lot of different ways of thinking about how these are done. Our evaluation is one of the largest that's ever been funded, if not the largest that's ever been funded by NIJ. It was 6 years. We conducted multiple interviews with the 89 program directors that were funded with SVORI funds. We collected four waves of interviews with about 2,400 adults and juveniles who were either in SVORI programs or part of our comparison groups, nearly 2,500 individuals in 14 states that were representative of 12 adult and 4 juvenile programs. These interviews began in July of 2004 and we concluded the last 15-month post-release follow-up interview in April of 2007. We have augmented this data collection with the assembly at great effort of administrative data from state departments of correction, juvenile justice agencies, probation and parole agencies, as well as arrest information that we obtained from the National Center for, I don't know, the Crime Center, the UC, the arrest data, rap sheets from the FBI, NCIC data. So we have a mountain of data. We've been combing through this for some time now, and I would just like to give you a few of the highlights, I think, of what we are. We're in the process of finishing our final reports. I promise y'all will have them by the end of June. Please, please let y'all have them by the end of June, and for them to go out. So the final reporting will be coming out hopefully later this summer, early this fall. But I'm going to summarize some of our findings here. The first is, and I think it's always important when we talk about reentry issues to think about the people that are being targeted for reentry programs. If we do not always begin by talking about the deficits that these individuals face, that it's too easy to step back and forget that, yes, they read at the third grade level. Yes, they're involved and have been in crystal meth for years. And, oh, yeah, but if we don't start off by talking about what the needs are, what the deficits are, it's too easy to just brush that off and just say, you know, pull yourself up and get on with it. So the SFORI programs were supposed, unlike a lot of federal initiatives, were supposed to target those with serious criminal histories. We're here to tell you that they did. Fully 80% of the adults in our study had been incarcerated in prison at least once before. The men had an average of 18 prior arrests, 6 prior convictions. The women reported 12 prior arrests and 5 prior convictions. We've got information on boys, on the juvenile males. I'm not going to talk about them today because time is kind of short, but they also represent very serious populations. More than 40% of the men and 30% of the women were serving time for a violent crime. Almost all, and I'm talking 99%, admitted having used illegal drugs in the past. Almost all had alcohol problems. Nearly 80% of the women and 55% of the men had had prior mental health or substance abuse treatment before they were incarcerated. The mental health, and there are many of you, we spend a lot of time talking about adult male prisoners because that's the bulk of the prisoners and offenders that we see in our systems. But when you have an opportunity to look at a substantial number of women as well as men, you realize in a lot of ways that oftentimes their needs are substantially higher than the needs for the adult males. So the good news is there aren't that many women in our systems, although obviously a lot more today than in the past, but their needs are substantially greater oftentimes than what we see with the men. Clearly, problems in terms of job skills. Only about 60% had a high school degree or GED, which actually is higher than you see some places, and less than two-thirds of the men and only about half of the women had worked in the 6 months prior to their incarceration. Second point is that these grants gave the states money. The states went out and spent that money on programs and services. We see a substantial increase in the services and programming that were provided to individuals who were in these programs. So that's the good news. This is a, you know, necessary, maybe not sufficient to see positive outcomes, but a necessary finding. However, remember again, we have to remember where we are, not just remember who we're dealing with, but where we are in terms of program implementation. These programs, we were looking at how well people did who were participating in these programs during the first year or so that these programs were in existence. So we were basically evaluating people going through at the time that the programs were being implemented. So 66% of the adult male SFORI program participants said that they had worked with someone to plan for release. Now, that was more than twice as many as those people who were not in the SFORI programs. But that also means a third of the people who were in SFORI programs had not met with anyone to plan for release. Now, this is not criticizing the SFORI programs, but just to say, again, these kinds of implementation and rollout takes some time. In general, what we saw, a lot more services were provided before release than after. 38% of the adult males and 46% of the female SORI participants reported receiving any employment-related services following release. So, again, and this was more than twice, again, what we saw for the people in the comparison groups, but substantially less than the 100% of these individuals who needed this help. So the findings from our perspective are good news. The programs were able to start dramatically increasing the services that were being provided, clearly provides a place to start in terms of looking at incremental improvement to continue to build. Third, more services appear to be associated with better outcomes at 3, 9, and 15 months post-release when we did our follow-up interviews. The SORI program participants had better employment-related outcomes, better substance abuse-related outcomes. The men, at least, we saw better housing-related outcomes. We found lower levels of self-reported criminal behavior among those who have participated in their program. So all in all of these are good news. We also saw in administrative arrest records for the adult men small but sustained changes in arrest over time. Those who were in programs had lower levels of arrest than those who were not. None of this, though really appears to have translated into reincarceration. We think that where we see there's virtually no difference. We think that this is related to parole violations. For whatever reasons, the individuals in programs tended to be on supervision for longer. Some of them appeared to have they had more conditions attached to them, and so, you know, we don't see, you know, it pushing out in terms of reincarceration. There's some other hypotheses we've talked about that are methodological, actually, that may have a bearing here too. But, you know, what we see is the state's got more money. The money was spent for services. The services reported resulted. You know, we're going to the grantee said we're going to provide more services. In fact, they did provide more services. Those services led to better outcomes, at least in the intermediate outcomes in terms of improved drug and improved employment. A place to start, a place to build, promising beginning. And my time's up, so I will stop there. Thank you.